Hello, and welcome to The Collision, Collider's podcast about movies, TV, and more. I'm the site's managing editor, Matt Goldberg, and with me today is senior editor, Adam Chitwood.
Howdy.
Today, we will be looking ahead at 2015, a year where not much is happening at the movies.
Very, very boring year.
Not really much. We're going to try to muddle through. And this year is going to be fucking insane. The last year's box office reports, like, box office has been really down for 2014. It's been really down. Films underperformed. You could have the shittiest movies in 2015. Doesn't matter. Some of these are money in the bank. If 2015 doesn't rebound at the box office, that is a bellwether of what people are doing for their entertainment now.
Oh, yeah. It's gonna be interesting to see what happens. And it's not even, I mean, I went back and looked at an article I wrote a year ago about 2015, and a lot of movies have moved to 2016, and 2015 is still crazy. Like, Batman Superman moved, Assassin's Creed, Independence Day 2, Pirates 5, Finding Dory, and Kung Fu Panda 3, all of those moved. And Warcraft, those were all supposed to be in 2015. All of those moved. And despite all that, 2015 still looks insane.
Yeah, I mean, you have at the baseline, you have Avengers, Age of Ultron, and you have Star Wars Episode 7.
Yeah.
Either one of those could conquer the year on its own. Now, you know, that's nuts. I would have put some money on Mockingjay, but after this year, I'm a bit more reticent to do that. I don't think anything beats Star Wars. Wars is just that nothing can beat it. That's what happens when you have decades and decades of history behind you, and everyone is hoping in their heart of hearts. It's like, we can start a new baby, right? I know you hurt me before with those prequels, but we can make a go of it this time, right? With the sequel trilogy. I'm really excited about knowing nothing. People are going to have to buy toys for that. They don't have to. People are going to buy toys for that before they see the movie.
Oh, yeah.
It doesn't open until December 18th. And Bob Iger, like, J.J. Abrams and Kathleen Kennedy are like, please, can we move this to 2016? We really could use the time. He's like, fuck that. I got shareholders.
Yeah.
And they want a Star Wars movie this year. They want the toys. They want the overseas sales. They want everything that comes with it. And they want it in 2015. You have until the end of the year. Let our marketing department take care of selling Finn action figures.
Yeah, essentially, he's like, yeah, I don't run a movie studio. I run a business. You're coming out in 2015, no matter what.
Yeah, pretty much. This ain't Annapurna Pictures.
Yes. But let's start off with January.
Let's start off with January. Let's pull back. Let's also say that there are plenty of independent films we'll be excited to see in 2015. We just don't know when and where they are. We will do another show about Sundance, because there's lots to look forward to at Sundance.
This mm-hmm.
No kidding. But for right now, it's the films with firm release dates, and yes, these are the bigger movies. We understand. These are not the only movies we're excited to see, but these are the films that will have wide releases. So let's start off with January. Adam, what catches your eye?
God. January is not a good month.
January is not a great month, but there's stuff worth seeing here.
I'm honestly really curious about Black Hat. I was not at all, but I saw Rush and I was like, Chris Hemsworth can act. Like, he hasn't been given a movie where he can really act before. I'm always curious about Michael Mann, even though he hasn't made great stuff lately. I think he's an interesting filmmaker. So I'm curious. I mean, it has an added level of relevancy now with the Sony hack and everything. I saw Universal hitting those TV ads hard on the cyber attack aspect right after all that stuff happened.
See, with me and Black Hat, I feel, is not grabbing me because I feel that the trailers for it are very broad. It's like every keystroke you make, every phone call, like, it's just tapping into what I feel are pretty archaic fears. Like, this is what I feel is setting up to be the net 2015, where you just prey on, like, ignorance about what is cyber warfare, what is that, and people don't really know, but they know in the broad strokes. And then you have Chris Hemsworth, who I am looking forward to in another movie this year that I think will test him. I think he can act as well. I think he's good. But this one, I don't have a lot of faith in Michael Mann anymore. I think it's been too long since he came out. I think his last good film was Collateral. I know a lot of people's like, Miami Vice is amazing. No, it isn't. But the film is, I think on the one hand, for a guy who's now just super committed to digital in a big way, maybe that'll work better. But when I just see, like, muscular cyber hacker walking around, it just strikes me as silly.
See, I should clarify. I'm curious about Black Hat because I'm giving it the benefit of the doubt. I feel like those trailers and TV spots could be like, let's just play to the lowest common denominator of this. Like, for me, I'm hopeful that there's something more there, I guess is what I'm saying. Because it doesn't feel like Michael Mann would make just a straight action-y movie, like a really cheesy cyber thriller. I feel like he's interested in more than that. He's not a dumb guy. It just doesn't feel like he's the kind of guy that's going to make that movie. It's entirely possible that he did, but I would say I'm most curious about that one out of January.
Okay, fair enough. All right, well, I will respond with looking forward to Black Sea, which opens on January 23rd, because
you and your submarine movies.
Me and my submarine movies. I love submarine movies. They are inherently dramatic. You're going to put a bunch of guys into a cramped space and then put them underwater where they could die at any moment. They could literally be crushed. There's almost always a scene in a submarine movie where the guy has to get locked in the compartment and drowns, because if he doesn't, the rest of the ship will be lost. But this one has the benefit of not only being a submarine movie, it's also a heist movie. But it's not just a heist movie. It's a paranoid film where all the people on the boat who have heisted this Nazi gold, you gotta have your Nazi gold, they then start to turn on each other. It's like, oh, you know, more shares if we take out this guy, all in with this confined space. I think that's a really cool premise. It's from Kevin MacDonald, who did Last King of Scotland, and I have hope for Black Sea.
Yeah, I mean, I haven't been crazy about a Kevin MacDonald film in a while, but it definitely looks, it's inherently thrilling, as you said. So I like Jude Law. I'm definitely going to be seeing that one.
And it has Scoot McNairy.
It's like the who's who of like brilliant character actors, because it's got like Ben Mendelsohn and Scoot McNairy. Gosh, who else is in it? There's a ton of people in that movie.
Yeah.
It's a bunch of like very, very specific character actors that are just really, they hit a, like you can't miss them. You can't mistake them for someone else.
Exactly. So I'm excited for Black.
Oh, and what's his name from Spaced and all those Edgar Wright movies? I can't remember his name now. The one with the bike cop hat and everything dances around to the.
I know who you're talking about.
He's in that one too.
All right, so we will find that out later. We can't check it into IMDb right now, folks. Yeah. We know it has Jude Law. We know it has Scoot McNairy. We know it has Ben Mendelsohn. Already, you're off with a great start. So Black Sea. What else are you looking forward to in January?
Not much else. I think Paddington could be fun. It's getting
hearing good things about Paddington.
Yeah, it's getting really good reviews out of Britain. The problem with it is that it's like a holiday Christmas-centric movie, and I'm not really in the mood to watch one of those on January 16th. It's kind of like, you know, over and done. It was originally slated to open on Christmas, but they pushed it. I don't know why.
Probably they also had Big Eyes that day, and I think that already Christmas is so crowded, and I think they wanted to maybe seed the family crowd to Into the Woods.
Sure.
So it was super crowded, and so they kicked it to January. And but I'm with you. Yeah, it feels like a Christmas film, and yet at the same time, I wouldn't be opposed to seeing it.
Yeah, it looks cute.
I gotta say, for me, January, there's first off, for people who don't know, Red Army comes out on January 23rd. I have seen this film. I saw it at TIFF. It is an amazing sports documentary. It's about the Russian hockey team in the 1980s, and it will blow your mind in terms of, basically, we all know about the Miracle on Ice. Well, now look at it from the other side. And it wasn't great for them, but it also goes into the other aspects of it. It has sort of a great central figure with Ilya Kovalchuk. Vyacheslav Kozlov. And he is such an asshole, but he's a compelling asshole. So it's a film that's really worth watching. It's funny. It's smart. I highly recommend Red Army. A film that it's also, to go back to what you're saying about hearing good things about the film, even though it was pushed back a year, I've heard good things about Project Almanac back when it was called Welcome to Yesterday, but it's still,
I have negative interest in that movie. Like I actively don't want to see that movie, and that's rare.
About benefit of the doubt. Benefit of the doubt could be another Chronicle.
Well, it doesn't even. I didn't even like Chronicle that much. I hate found footage. I hate found footage, and like nothing about this project or about this movie strikes me as interesting. Like I'm willing to give almost everything a shot, but that like it like seeing that trailer hit so many negatives for me that it was like, nope. I have no interest in seeing that movie. It's like, oh, it's kind of like Back to the Future, and then oh, we're gonna go back and
down. Like Back to the Future. I think there's promise there, and I'm surprised that I've heard positive. If I hadn't heard positive things about it, then yeah, I probably would just blow it off. But the fact that there are positive things about it surprises me, just like Paddington surprises me, and that makes me interested.
It screened at Comic-Con last year. I don't remember. Someone from our site saw it. I don't know if they wrote a review.
I think it was Perry.
Yeah.
One more film, and I know this is going to it's a crapshoot. Mordecai. Mordecai could be fun.
I know
Johnny Depp has worn out his welcome, but it looks like it could be fun. David Koepp, I like Ghost Town. I don't like Premium Rush, but
I like Premium Rush. I don't like Secret Window. I think Secret Window is
Seen Secret Window.
It's like enjoyably bad. You should watch Secret Window because it's
okay.
I'll do
a back to back with that in Winter's Tale and Abduction.
If you want to talk about actors who are given like too much free rein and don't have a director to rein them in, that's Johnny Depp. So, but for Mordecai, it's a broad comedy, so it could work.
So it could work, and you have other actors doing comedy like Gwyneth Paltrow and Ewan McGregor and Olivia Munn, and I think that could be a fun mix. And I've liked what I've seen from the trailers. Oh, and you have Paul Bettany. Don't forget
Paul Bettany.
Never forget Paul Bettany. All right, you want to move on to February? Anything else in January? Ooh, let's talk about The Loft, a film that I still don't think will ever come out.
It was shot in 2011.
I know. It's amazing. Oh, God. And it's not like we were working on the effects. It takes place in a fucking loft.
No, it's just a movie that's just been passed around from studio to studio.
Because no one fucking wants it.
Yeah.
All right, February, what do you got?
Jupiter Ascending, man.
Jupiter Ascending!
It's finally coming out. I'm so excited.
Me too. And February is pretty hot, I gotta say.
It is.
February, things keep heating up early and earlier. Nothing we can do about it.
Are you talking about 50 Shades of Grey?
50 Shades of Grey.
Hey-o!
Is the fourth.
Heating up.
Heating up. Nailed it. It's boner-tastic. It's the fourth most anticipated film of 2015, according to a Fandango poll.
I think it looks like a lot of fun. I'm genuinely excited to see 50 Shades of Grey.
I am morbidly
curious.
I'm going to see a film. I'm going to see, like, hey, want to come into this theater and watch softcore porn with a bunch of strangers? I know I do. That's super weird.
I think they're going to go VOD. I would bet money on it.
I don't know if they're
going
to go VOD. If this film is so anticipated for a theatrical release.
No, I think they're going to go. I think they're going to do the interview thing where it's like in theaters, but also day and date VOD. And I think it's going to make a shit ton of money that way.
I mean, I agree with you that that's a great idea, and that's a really smart way to go. But it's one of those things where we have to remember that the theaters just shut out. It's a slightly different circumstance. I think that would be a great idea for them to go VOD, but we'll have to wait and see.
Sure.
If it is, but like I said, morbidly curious, and I kind of want to go and see it with a crowd just to be super uncomfortable.
Oh, yeah.
Just because you won't be able to replicate that. Because seriously, if you order at home, it's like, oh, and then I'll follow this with the fucking Red Shoe Diaries. Like, who cares? You rented softcore porn. Oh, it's Thursday. No one cares. You could have done that any day. It's just a higher profile title. It doesn't have anyone famous in it. Like Dakota Johnson, like, I know her face. I don't know who Jamie Dornan is. So,
the
The what?
He's on The Fall, which is really good. But yeah, nobody knows who he is.
Exactly. So I think releasing a VOD is a great idea, but I still would see it in a theater.
Sure, yeah. I think I'll be going to see it in theater. I know a bunch of people that want to see it, so I think it would be fun. It feels like a movie, based on that first trailer, it feels like a movie that knows exactly what it is, and so that's promising. Not that it's going to like take itself super seriously and all this stuff. So
I say as long as you know what you are, and instead of trying to please everybody.
Yeah, exactly.
You're going in a right direction, especially with material that specific.
Yeah.
You got to commit to that.
But Jupiter Ascending. We got a new Wachowski siblings movie this year. That's exciting.
Seriously. A film that was too original for summer 2014.
Yeah.
Do you believe that the effects weren't finished?
No, they were finished. Mila Kunis like said in an interview, she's like, "Oh yeah, I saw it last week. Something happened."
That was the excuse. No, and I think they were. It's harder to tell people, "Yeah, we think this film's going to get crushed because it's not a sequel or an adaptation of anything. It's an original premise, so we're going to move it away."
I think it was a combination of that and the fact that Warner Brothers already had like three bombs on their hands. Like they had Transcendence, Monuments Men, and Edge of Tomorrow all did not do well. And so they were like, can we risk putting out Jupiter Ascending, spending all this money and getting another one in a row, or move this risky movie to 2015?
I would also like to say, like, I understand they moved the film. I don't want to bash Warner Brothers, though, because I think Warner Brothers takes a lot of chances.
Oh, yeah.
In distributions. They released Her, they released Gravity, they released Cloud Atlas. So, absolutely. Let's give Warner Brothers some credit, and I understand why they moved it, but I am very excited to see it in February. I don't know. I hope it catches people's interest. I almost hope that, and this may be a long shot, that the excitement from Guardians of the Galaxy to have this big space opera when no one knows the characters and like, oh my God, this character has rocket boots and then they're in outer space with big ass spaceships and they're flying around. Like, there's a rekindled interest in that.
I would hope so, but I think the difference is that from the Guardians trailer, you're like, oh, it's funny. There aren't really any jokes in Jupiter Ascending, and I'm afraid people are going to be like, oh, it looks like it's taking itself so seriously. But I think it's going to be like high. So yeah, I mean, I people were super down on it last year, but I think it looks a lot of fun. It might not be as humorous in tone as Guardians of the Galaxy, and I think that might put some people off. But I'm really looking forward to it, and the set pieces look. The set pieces look amazing. Wachowski siblings put together some really cool set pieces. And the sound of the spaceships, like every movie you see that has spaceships now, they all sound the same. But like the spaceship sounds, just like the gun sounds, this sounds super specific. But like the gun sounds and the trailers for this are really interesting and weird and like almost like water droplets. And it's really exciting.
Right. They know this is one of those things. And again, I understand like the Wachowskis. You have to sort of look at it this way with them. The Matrix is a groundbreaking film. I think one of the most... If you're going to make a list of the 100 most important films in American cinema, I think The Matrix would be on there for the lasting influence it had.
Oh, yeah.
Both technologically and in terms of storytelling and the people who saw it and were influenced by it. But they've never had a movie anywhere close to as popular as The Matrix.
No.
The sequels, people hate the sequels. Speed Racer is a weird movie, although I think it's really fun. I love Cloud Atlas, but that is not a crowd pleaser by any stretch. So I don't know if Jupiter Ascending is going to catch on, but we'll see. We'll see if people go for it.
Yeah.
I'm with you, though. I'm super interested.
For sure.
I would like to select Kingsman, The Secret Service, because I am a huge Matthew Vaughn fan. I have liked every single Matthew Vaughn film. And I don't count Kick-Ass 2 as his movie, even though he produced it.
No, that's a fucking terrible movie.
It's a fucking awful film. But I like the first Kick-Ass.
Yes.
The first Kick-Ass is fun. But, you know, I like Layer Cake. I like Stardust. I like Kick-Ass. I like X-Men First Class. I am really excited for what Kingsman looks fun. It looks like... You know, he's found a cool way to spin the spy genre. And as we've seen with Kick-Ass, he knows how to take shitty Mark Miller premises and turn them into entertaining films. So
yes.
I think Mark Miller's an abysmal writer and far more successful as a self-promoter than an actual creator. So that's my opinion of Mark Miller.
No, I think Kingsman looks like a lot of fun.
I told the people whining and crying, look, okay, I'll give Mark Miller Superman Red Sun, but Old Man Logan is a piece of shit, and so is Wanted, and so is his Marvel Knights collection. So just because I've faced that criticism before. But Kingsman, I like the trailers a lot. And it's still not necessarily an easy sell, but I like what I've seen from it.
Yeah, the early word is really positive, so I'm really looking forward to it.
Because it's opened in the UK now, right?
I'm not sure. I know the embargo lifted, so I know it's screened to critics already, or certain critics. I just know that reviews are up, so...
Okay. Before getting back to you, I want to hear your next pick, but I also want to point out that in February, on February 27th, the film 71 comes out, and I can't recommend this movie enough. It is a fantastic story. It takes place in 1971, where a group of British soldiers goes into Northern Ireland to quell an uprising. The riot gets out of hand. One of them is left behind. The one left behind is played by Jack O'Connell, who is much better in 71 than he is in Unbroken, because in 71 he has something to work with, so he's sort of trying to keep his head down and get back to his people alive. And he just, it's sort of this very tense film. I got a very heavy Paul Greengrass vibe from it. It really reminded me a lot. Oh yeah, like if you could see this guy, like the way he uses handheld, but in a way like where you know what's going on. There's political, social subtext. It's all driven, though. There's still characters you really care about. So I would say if you're a Paul Greengrass fan, 71 is an easy sell, but I would recommend it to anyone.
Yeah.
So Adam, what are you also looking forward to in February? Because I have one more, but go on.
I'm looking forward to Hot Tub Time Machine 2.
Okay, that was mine too.
Who isn't looking forward to it? Hot Tub Time Machine is so much fun. And
it really is.
Rob Corddry or Craig Robinson, I think in an interview with Steve, said that in the sequel, like, they got no money. Like, it's like super small budget. So they said they just went crazy, like did some insane stuff. So I'm really looking forward to it, because the first movie is really stupidly funny. Like, it knows exactly what kind of movie it is. And I like John Cusack. I would have liked to have seen him come back, but I think Adam's...
I'm okay. If I had to lose someone from that original quartet, I'd be happy losing John Cusack, because the film doesn't really know what to do with him. And they replace him basically with Adam Scott.
Yeah, so, sure. And Adam Scott is great, so... Yeah, it looks fantastic, and I love the trailer when they sing to Clark Gregg about how he's a nerd.
Nobody likes you.
So yeah, Hot Tub Time Machine 2. I'm really excited for it.
Excellent.
I'm not excited for Focus.
Oh yeah, Focus. Who cares? who's directing Focus?
It's the two guys that did Crazy Stupid Love, John Requa and Glenn Ficarra. Which I don't think I liked parts of Crazy Stupid Love, but I thought tonally it was all over the place, and that kind of feels like what Focus is too. So,
yeah, I mean, you get like seven different tones in the
trailer. Yeah, yeah. I mean, I like all those people, but it doesn't look super interesting. I'll see it. I'm definitely seeing it, but I'm not super excited for it.
Yeah. Ready to move on to March?
Yes, sir.
My most anticipated film of March, and one of my most anticipated of the year, In the Heart of the Sea. And that, the one drawback is Ron Howard.
No. Did you like Rush?
I liked Rush, but let's be fair. Before Rush, that's one hell of a cold streak.
I can't remember exactly. I think Ron Howard is fine. I like Frost Nixon fine.
See, I think Frost Nixon is like, it's fine, it could be great, but Frost Nixon just carries itself on pedigree, and I think really Michael Sheen and Frank Langella are the big strengths of that film. But he did fucking Da Vinci Code, which isn't any fun.
No.
Takes itself way too seriously. Angels and Demons, same fucking problem. I think A Beautiful Mind did not even come close to deserving to win Best Picture. I think it has a nice twist to it, and I think like it has some neat ways of visualizing things.
You're not a big fan of The Dilemma, the romantic comedy classic.
I didn't even see The Dilemma.
It's not good.
Yeah, I didn't even see. Yeah, exactly. Cinderella Man is fucking awful. I fucking hate Cinderella Man. He's just not like. I mean, he has a few good movies. That's the thing. I think Apollo 13 is amazing, and Apollo 13 is, you know, his. I think if you take that and you take Rush, and to a lesser extent Frost Nixon, I think he likes historical films. I know Cinderella Man is also, you know, somewhat historical, but it's really Cinderella Man is the completely wrong way to tell that story. But In the Heart of the Sea, I love this book. This book is such my kind of book. It's about the whaling ship Essex, which is provided the inspiration for Moby Dick. And the tale of it is not an uplifting tale of survival. It is dark. It is fascinating, though, the book, because you get to go into all these areas of what life was like around Nantucket and how this business worked. And when you find out how whaling worked, you really don't give a shit about these people. I mean, you care, and it's a difficult, and I mean, on a human level, but the way they kill whales, and I don't know if they'll show this in the movie, probably not, is fucking horrific. The way they kill whales to get oil, it just makes you angry. And glad that this doesn't happen anymore for us. It happens in other countries. But In the Heart of the Sea has such a great premise. It looks good from the trailer, like from some of the trailers. This is a story that could go a lot of ways, and part of me hopes it just goes super dark. Adam, what I know that you visited the set.
I did, yeah. I know a lot more about it. I can't really say, but I am.
Yeah,
very
you don't have
to
divulge any of that.
Yeah, okay. I'm really looking forward to it. And honestly, I think the thing that makes me super excited for it is Anthony Dodd Mantle is shooting it, who shot Rush, and I think he's kind of reinvigorated Howard as a director. I know that he was like hiding cameras all over the set on In the Heart of the Sea, so the actors didn't really know exactly when they would be on camera and when not. Just his cinematography in Rush was so visceral, and I think from the trailers for In the Heart of the Sea, it looks really like they're taking that title literally and putting you right in the middle of all the action and everything. And I think that's really exciting. And as I said, I think Chris Hemsworth is a really good actor, has a great ensemble. Tom Holland.
That one has a great cast, yeah.
Yeah. Tom Holland, Ben Walker.
Benjamin Walker.
Cillian Murphy. Yeah. Brendan Gleeson.
Yeah. Brendan Gleeson. Gotta love Brendan Gleeson.
Ben Whishaw. Great cast.
Good cast.
So yeah, I'm like you. I love the book as well. That's probably my most anticipated in March. Very much looking forward to it. But another movie that's coming out in March that I have seen is While We're Young. It's the new the Bomb Buck.
That was my favorite film at TIFF. I would have been in my top 10 of last year, but it hadn't come out.
Yeah.
And so it'll be a tough one to beat for my 2015 because that movie's fantastic. I'm sorry, you talk about it.
Yeah, it's super fun. It's Noah Baumbach's follow-up to Francis Ha. It seems like he's a happy person now because he's making these kind of happy movies. And not to say it's saccharine or, you know, overly sweet, but it's a fun movie. It's definitely the most mainstream movie that he's made yet. It has more of a mainstream sensibility, but it's not necessarily mainstream. Ben Stiller and Naomi Watts play a married couple who are wrestling with, you know, are they too old now, or, you know, have they lost the, you know, the youthfulness of their lives? And they come across a young couple played by Adam Driver and Amanda Seyfried and strike up a friendship with them, and it's kind of hilarity ensues. There's also you know, as with Baumbach films, there's a creative aspect to it. Ben Stiller's character is a documentary filmmaker who's making this very dry, pretentious documentary that's taking him years to work on. Charles Grodin is in it, and he's great. Adam Driver is fantastic again. And it's commentary on how young people have appropriated the culture of older people, kind of like the it's not an indictment of hipster culture, but it has something to say about hipster culture. And so it's fun. It's really funny. It's a great time. And you should definitely see it.
Could not agree more. Here's the thing about March. March is sort of like, it feels like a month where people are like really forcing it to be super big, like really take advantage of that spring season. And that's when we're getting Batman v Superman next year.
Yeah.
But this year, there's shit I don't want to see. I will see it, but like Divergent series, Insurgent.
Yeah.
Oof. Cinderella. It looks very colorful. Like,
it looks pretty, but it's just kind of like, what's the point? Like, it's the same story. That trailer is exactly the same story.
I want to do Maleficent, but more uninteresting.
I still haven't seen Maleficent.
Yeah, Maleficent's not good.
I am genuinely looking forward.
It's a disappointing film.
Yeah, I've heard. I'm genuinely looking forward to Second Best Exotic Marigold Hotel. I think the first one was
it'll be a nice movie.
It's very nice. Yeah,
it's a nice movie. Tell your folks.
Delightful.
Chappie. That first trailer for Chappie.
Not good.
I mean, I want to still be in Neil Blomkamp's corner, but District 9 is... I love District 9. Elysium is really disappointing.
Yeah.
And now we're at Chappie. And I know Simon Kinberg told us in an interview, like, you know, the film is insane, and, you know, oh my God, it's so subversive. We'll see. We'll see. I am excited for White God, which is looks like basically Planet of the Apes, but with dogs.
Yes.
Yep, pretty much it.
Indeed.
All right, anything else for March?
No. I mean, we'll see.
All right.
Get Hard looks... it'll be funny. We'll see.
Yeah.
Pretty much know what we're going to get, but...
Pretty much. What are you looking forward to in April?
April... probably Ex Machina is my most anticipated, the directorial debut of Alex Garland, who wrote, what did he write? Dread, The Beach, Sunshine.
28 Days Later.
Yeah, 28 Days Later. And it's basically a bottle episode sci-fi thriller, of Donald Gleason, who I think is fantastic, Oscar Isaac, who I also think is fantastic, and Alicia Vikander, basically alone in a house or a cabin of some sort, working on what I think Oscar Isaac's character is working on, a robot that can feel human, and that's Alicia Vikander's character, and he's using, or not using, but Donald Gleason's character has volunteered to test it out and see how human it is. Something along those lines. I haven't really read too much because I know I'm in and I know I want to see it, but the trailer looks great, and he's next adapting a book that I love. The Southern Reach trilogy. He's adapting the first book in the Southern Reach trilogy, so Annihilation. So I'm looking forward to see kind of his sensibilities as a director there.
Yeah, Ex Machina, definitely looking forward to that in April. My Lego nerdery will shine through as I am excited for Beyond the Brick, a Lego Brickumentary.
I thought you were going to pick Paul Blart Mall Cop 2. I was betting on it.
I actually had this question. And I'll back up. This is, you remind, okay, so I this is a huge side note, but I want to make this point. So I went to go see Into the Woods with my family, and so it's a family film. They're showing trailers for films, and they show Paul Blart Mall Cop, too, because it's that audience. And it's a Sony film, and this was happening around the same time of the interview. Let's say, for argument's sake, that North Korea is like, we don't want to see Paul Blart Mall Cop 2. Does that film get the support that The Interview gets? Do, like, film bloggers like, no. Are they going to take the Voltaire angle where they're like, I may not agree with Paul Blart Mall Cop 2, but I will defend to the death your right to release Paul Blart Mall Cop 2? Do you think that still happens? Or is it easier to defend The Interview?
I think it's easier to defend The Interview. I think the film blogger uproar or whatever wouldn't be as pronounced, but I still think from a political standpoint, it would still be a thing. Because, I mean,
from
again...
political one, I'm talking about from the film blogger standpoint.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I don't know. I certainly wouldn't see as many editorials. It'd probably be more half-hearted, kind of like, yeah, that's kind of shitty that they're saying we can't do it. But, you know, we should probably release the end.
And I think it's kind of shitty that people wouldn't give it the full-throated support, because either this thing bothers you or it doesn't.
Yeah.
But that's the thing. Paul Blart Mall Cop 2 is the lowest of the low, and neither one of us is looking forward to it. But Beyond the Brick, Lego Brickumentary, that's because I'm a huge Lego fan. It screened at Tribeca last year. It's not that it didn't set the world on fire, but people said it was good. That's good enough for me. I am curious about that film. I will definitely go see Beyond the Brick.
Sure. Sure. I will see it as well.
I know this is me being a Lego nerd. I get it.
How do they make them all different colors?
Well, Adam, you ask. What else in April are you looking forward to?
I can't honestly say I'm looking forward to Furious 7 because I'm a Fairweather Fast and Furious fan. I liked the first one a lot when I saw it when it first came out. Loved Fast 5. Did not like Fast 6, and most people seem to. I understand that the franchise has a huge fan base.
I'm the other way around. I think Fast 5 is fine. I think it's like a dumbed down Ocean's 11. Fast 6, I think the series finally found what it is and found its own identity. So Furious 7, I'm very curious about. I'm also curious to see how the story went with how Paul Walker's character figures in. Because he was supposed to be, before he died, his character was supposed to basically be the center point of the film.
Yeah.
This was really more Brian Connor's story. And so I'm curious to see, and then they had to rework it, and so I'm curious about how that goes. But even beyond that, I like the trailer. It looks fun. These movies know what they are, so I want to see them take it even further.
And it's James Wan making his action genre debut, which
that
is
that is, yeah, that does cause me some pause. Because also let's remember that Justin Lin, I think his action chops developed the more he directed.
Tokyo
Drift is fine. Fast and Furious is meh. And then Fast 5 is better, and Fast 6 is better than from an action. Even if I think you would at least agree from a set piece perspective, would you, that Fast 6 is better than Fast 5 from a technical perspective?
No, I can honestly no. not. I no.
You don't like anything about Fast
I
and could, Furious.
Well,
6.
I think it's forgettable. Like
It
gets.
I think they're all forgettable.
I think Fast 5 got too big. The thing is, it got so like, how do we top Fast 5 and stuff? Well, CG, and that's the thing that kind of brought it down for me. It's like, if you're gonna have people jumping over a highway with this crazy CG, whatever. I was just kind of like, show me something real. That's more exciting. Like the heist in Fast 5 was more exciting to me with the big safe truck and all that stuff.
Yeah, see, I just like people saying fuck physics and just going for it. In a film that isn't like superheroes, it's just like ostensibly not superheroes or sci-fi, where they just say, well, we don't give a shit about physics.
It's about family.
It's about family. Oh, that I hate. I hate that about all of them. It's about family. Damn. Fuck you.
But I mean, and another thing is just in the scheme of things, it just feels kind of not dirty, but Paul Walker died. It's just really sad, and it's tough to get excited about a movie that was kind of like, well, we got to work around his death that happened in the middle of this. And
yeah, but I mean,
I know it's
is,
honoring like, him because
it's not even honor. I mean, you can say that, but I mean, he liked doing these movies. Like,
sure,
this wasn't just. I don't think he would want to be like, I don't want to speak for him, but it would just seem like, all right, everyone, we don't get to make these movies anymore, even though he loved.
Yeah, that's true.
Movies.
That's
like that. So yeah, I mean, it's not like one of my most anticipated of the year, but it is the first time I've been looking forward to a Fast and Furious film.
Sure.
So I will say that in defense of Furious 7. All right. May doesn't really have anything. Let's move on to June.
Moving on.
There is a nice untitled Reese Witherspoon Sofia Vergara comedy in May.
Yeah.
I think that'll really catch people's eye. Mm. Nothing is really opening on May 8th. People have just ceded 2 weekends to Avengers Age of Ultron.
Yeah, you don't want to be in that death path. You don't want to be in the wake of that.
Nothing's around it the week before. Nothing is.
No.
Nothing wants to be around it. Just leave it alone. Let Avengers be Avengers. Here's a question. Do you think so? Avengers currently holds the record for biggest opening weekend. It made $200 million. Do you think Avengers: Age of Ultron makes more?
I've been saying for a long time, no, it won't, because the reality of sequels to movies like that, it just doesn't top it. Like, when something is that big on its outset, the second time around, it's not a novelty. It's not new. But everything about Marvel is so different than what's the norm, since it's such an interconnected thing. So I honestly don't know. I think it's possible. I definitely think it's possible, especially because April, you have Furious 7 on April 3rd and then nothing. So you have a full month without a big, let's go to the movies kind of movie. So I think people who are casual movie fans that might see like one movie a month are going to be like, now I'm like, it's the beginning of May, school's almost out, that I'm seeing Avengers opening weekend.
I'm not saying like that's its. I want it to be a good movie before.
Yeah.
That makes a lot of money. I'm just curious in terms of setting records.
I think Star Wars will break the record.
Yeah, I think so too.
I'm
looking.
Oh yeah, never mind.
What?
I was wondering, is it open over Christmas? So you have to do that weird like 5-day, 3-day thing, but it doesn't. It opens on the 15th. So.
It'll just dominate the holiday season in January and so on and so forth.
Yeah.
Unless the movie is just utter fucking garbage.
Yeah.
then it may not have legs. But yeah. Nah, it still might have legs. Avengers 8, I mean, hey, Phantom Menace, people were able to delude themselves for a while. Avengers Age of Ultron, I am looking forward to it. I guess here's my thing about Avengers Age of Ultron. I like Marvel movies. I like Marvel's movies much more than you do. I've liked all of Phase 2. I think, perhaps, I was thinking about this the other day. Why am I not more excited for Avengers Age of Ultron? I think it's a couple things. First off, I think I'm still waiting for that big trailer to like really blow me away. I like the first one. It's a good trailer. It was one of my top 10 trailers of last year. But I'm still waiting to see just a little bit more. Two, I already feel fucking inundated. I feel like the movie's 5 months away and people are like, and here's what Vision's like, and here's what Ultron's like, and let me tell you how we are moving to Phase 3, and that's the kicker. We are already, and I know we've talked about this before, but it's like, how can this be important when we're already talking about Civil War?
Yeah,
like, Civil War is huge on its own. Like, how is this important? You know?
Yeah.
Here's the thing. Avengers felt like a culmination. Like, this would be bigger than anything we'd seen before. Now Avengers Age of Ultron's like, this is on the same level of what we're seeing. It's another Marvel movie rather than the big Marvel movie.
Yeah, exactly. We've seen these people cross paths, and I know we've talked ad nauseum about, you know, teaser culture and everyone's excited for stuff in the future, but even Joss Whedon himself in an interview recently was saying he was a bit disheartened by that big presentation Marvel did, because he was kind of like, you know, but what about my movie? Like, that's the movie that's coming out next. Why is everybody talking about stuff that's 3 years, 4 years away? You know, that's the thing. It kind of feels over, but it's going to come out. It's going to be huge. It's going to dominate the pop culture when it comes out. So once it gets there, it's going to be like, all right, we're in it. But like right now, it kind of feels like, oh, are we over it? Have we seen too much? I think that once you get into it, the only thing I worry about is Disney's marketing campaign just spoils the hell out of the Marvel movies. Like the first Avengers, they showed so much leading up to that. So I'm curious to see what the marketing campaign is like leading up to Avengers. If they get into third act stuff, things like that, start showing like, here's Vision flying around.
They could show the fucking end credit scene and people would still show up.
Sure. I'm not talking about people not showing up. I'm just like, just see if something for me. And this is coming from someone who wasn't particularly excited about the first Avengers. And I really enjoyed it when it came out. I bought it on Blu-ray. I still enjoy it. I think that it takes like 45 minutes to get going. And the end is kind of a drag, but not a drag, but it's kind of like, we got it. I love Iron Man 3. That's my favorite.
We're just giving you the perspective on the Marvel stuff, but
yeah, I'm just saying, don't trust, like, don't take my word for like, is this how everyone feels? I am fully aware that I am against the norm and against the grain, but I am looking forward to Age of Ultron, if only because this feels like this is Joss Whedon's swan song with the Marvel Universe. I think he's very tired. I think he was super disheartened by the Edgar Wright thing. You know, he was a huge proponent of James Gunn and Guardians of the Galaxy when that was coming up, but after the Edgar Wright thing, I haven't seen anything between him and Gunn. It just kind of feels like, you know, he posted that picture of himself holding the Cornetto when Wright was pushed out of Ant-Man. I think he's tired. I think he's ready to leave.
Yeah. And now he has fuck you money to go make whatever film he wants.
So, yeah, exactly.
Yeah. I will say, and here's the thing, though, about Avengers Age of Ultron. It's not my most anticipated film of May.
Is it Mad Max Fury Road?
It's Mad Max Fury Road! Oh, my God. It's a very close between Mad Max Fury Road and Tomorrowland.
Yeah, same here.
Yeah. Mad Max Fury Road. Oh, my God.
Because they both that is, even though Mad Max is a sequel, they both feel like original movies, because Mad Max looks like nothing that's out there. And I think a lot of audiences are going to be...
And there hasn't been a Mad Max film in decades.
No, and it's a 110-minute chase scene, and it's going to be nuts.
Exactly. And you're right. There's nothing out there like it. It may as well be an original film, and no one knows what to expect. An entire generation of kids, like, has no idea what the hell Mad Max is. And normally that'd be a strike against a film, but if you're cutting trailers like the most recent one, you're going to get people's attention.
Yeah. Warner Bros.
And you're going to get people's attention anyway. Yeah.
They're really good at making American Sniper look like a good movie.
Seriously, way to go on that marketing campaign. Yeah, Mad Max Fury Road, though, looks like nothing else there. And quite honestly, I mean, the film, even it looks fun. And it looks like in a marketplace that I think has been so thoroughly homogenized, this is a standout. And I think while, again, I think all marketing shows way too much the closer you get to a film's release, at least I feel like when I'm going with Mad Max, and I say this is not someone who's like a diehard Mad Max film. I like The Road Warrior. I think that's the best of them. But I feel like Fury Road could be a very exciting film.
Yeah, for sure. And then Tomorrowland, wholly original movie. Brad Bird knocked his live-action debut out of the fucking park with Ghost Protocol, which is fantastic. I am a Damon Lindelof apologist. I like the Lost finale. I like the Leftovers. So I am very excited for Tomorrowland. I'm also super excited because we know nothing about it besides that like excellent teaser trailer, which does what you're supposed
that
to
trailer
do.
Is
tease.
So cool.
Yeah. It's very
I love
teasing.
That shot where she touches the pen and it, I don't know how they did that.
Yeah.
I still don't know how they did it. Yeah. Like I've seen like, you know, that shot, you know how to do it. And yet I've never seen it done that well.
No. Uh-uh. Like it's like
it,
magic.
It blows my mind. And if exactly. And if that's the kind of effect, and it's a little thing, that's the thing. It's a little thing. So imagine what happens when the big things come along.
Yeah, for sure.
That to me is very exciting. So yeah, Tomorrowland, definitely on my radar in a big way.
I'm also super excited for Pitch Perfect 2. I loved Pitch Perfect. I thought it was super fun and irreverent. Really like a fun sense of humor, like a really different tone than what's out there. And I'm really excited for Pitch Perfect 2 because it is incredibly rare because a lady is directing a big Hollywood studio movie, which does not happen very often.
Yes, I.
That's a big deal. Like, people aren't talking about it, but that's a big deal. Elizabeth Banks is directing a sequel to, like, one of the most popular movies of 2012.
For sure. And going back to, again, anecdotal evidence, people at my End of the Woods screening, when they saw the Pitch Perfect 2 trailer, they loved it. They were really excited, and I don't blame them.
Sure.
Also, another comedy I want to point out, Spy. Paul Feig. I like Paul Feig's last two movies, Bridesmaids and The Heat. Spy has a fun premise. Quite honestly, I'm on board just to see Jason Statham make a fool of himself. Because his films are so homogenous. And I know he's not the lead. Melissa McCarthy's the lead. But I just really want to see Jason Statham bumble around. Like I mean, Crank and Crank 2 are fun, but this seems like a different kind of comedy for him.
And to see how Feig handles...
He hasn't done comedy in a while.
Yeah, and to see how Feig handles action sequences since he's doing Ghostbusters. This will be his first
good test case.
But we haven't seen anything from Spy, which is interesting. I'm curious. We haven't even seen a picture, so I'm very
looking
forward to it.
Could be worse. Could be the Fantastic Four.
We'll get to that in a bit. I will say I am looking forward to Cameron Crowe's movie, even though it has not good buzz, and We Bought a Zoo was just a weird kind of movie. It was so like so hard on sleeve. I admired its earnestness. But yeah, I love Cameron Crowe, so I am looking forward to whatever. It's not titled yet. It was called Deep Tiki when he was working on it years ago, so.
Yeah, I'm sort of lukewarm on that.
It's like a Joe versus the Volcano sort of thing. It's going to be weird.
Yeah, I've never seen Joe versus the Volcano. I need to see that finally. There's a 2015 resolution for you. could not care less about San Andreas. I don't care about Dwayne Johnson versus an earthquake.
We just need to rewatch Volcano with Tommy Lee Jones and Anne Heche.
and do our back-to-back with Dante's Peak. Dante's Peak and Volcano.
Yes.
Oh, what a peak. My favorite part of Dante's Peak is when the grandmother hops into the acid lake to push the boat across.
I knew exactly what you were going to say when you said the grandmother. Oh, Dante.
Oh, when you tuned into this podcast, you didn't think Dante's Peak would get brought up, but you were wrong.
I enjoy Dante.
Oh, my goodness.
We need another good Volcano movie.
I think I would have enjoyed Dante's Peak more if I hadn't been on a train ride the summer it came out, and they played it nonstop on a train. It was their only movie. Dante's Peak does not hold up on 20 viewings. I will say that about Dante's Peak. anything else for May, or do you want to cut to June?
Let's move on to June.
June is surprisingly thin.
It is. It's kind of thin.
I'm not completely sold on Jurassic World yet.
No, I'm. I don't think Jurassic Park is a franchise. I was thinking about this the other day. I was like, those other two movies are not good. I was like, why are we doing a fourth one again? I know Spielberg is involved. I love Chris Pratt. Colin Trevorrow. I thought Safety Not Guaranteed was fine. It's not anything about him. I just don't think that this is a franchise.
Right. Jurassic Park is one of those cases where just because it's a blockbuster, you don't have to make more of them.
Yeah.
And it feels like they're really forced. And I think the reason Jurassic Park is special is because it's Spielberg.
Yeah.
He is a singular director, and he made that film. That is one of his defining pictures.
He also made The Lost World.
Right, but The Lost World is phoned in. Like, that's like saying, like, he also made Indiana Jones and the Kingdom of the Crystal Skull. No one cares.
Yeah.
That's not
yeah.
right. Those films are just... I'm doing this to do this. I think at least Indiana Jones feels like a favor to two people. I have no idea why Lost World exists.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I read something. I can't remember. I don't want to say without knowing for sure. But yeah, I don't think his heart was fully in that one.
Right. But June does have a good movie. Are you looking at Box Office Mojo like I am?
Because yes.
There is. Yeah. Name the film in June that you've seen and is actually quite good.
Love and Mercy is very good.
Yes,
especially if you are a Beach Boys fanboy like I am. It is the story of Brian Wilson, and in keeping with this kind of tradition now of doing biopics in a not Cradle to Grave way, which is fantastic, it's a dual story of Brian Wilson as a young man while he's in the Beach Boys, played by Paul Dano, and kind of his growing psychosis and problems then. And then the not present day set story, I think it's the early 90s, John Cusack plays Brian Wilson, where he is a recluse and hold up and kind of suffering abuse from his manager, played by Paul Giamatti. It's got fantastic performances by both Cusack and Dano. Fantastic music, and it really gets into the songwriting process for the Beach Boys, which is great. Pet Sounds is one of the greatest albums ever made, and it kind of shows how Brian Wilson was like, yeah, you guys go on tour, I don't like people, but I'm gonna stay here and I'm gonna work on something for you. And he just made Pet Sounds. So then the Beach Boys came back and he was like, all right, I just need your voices because I made this amazing thing, here you go. So yeah, it's great. Love and Mercy is fantastic.
I agree, and I'm not a Beach Boys fanboy, but I like the movie. The film I'm most excited for in June and for 2015, or one of the most anticipated of my 2015, is Inside Out. Because I want Pixar to make a comeback. I really do. And, yeah, I mean, they haven't all been Cars 2, thank God. But Up, I feel, was their last truly amazing film. Up holds up so well. I know people like to talk about the first 10 minutes. And the first 10 minutes, don't get me wrong, are phenomenal. They are a short film unto themselves. It's an amazing thing. But then I think that's a discredit to the rest of the movie, which I think is one of the best adventure films of the last 10 years. I think it is just so exciting and fun. And I would totally want them to make a comeback. And I would say that, you know, Pete Docter directed Up. He directed Inside Out. Inside Out has a fantastic premise. It has a female lead, which is still a low percentage in Pixar's filmography. And the first real trailer, like the teaser trailer was just like, hey, it's Pixar again. This was the first real trailer. It is. It was the first teaser was like, from the people,
hey,
who
guys,
brought you
movies we didn't
you
disappear.
Liked.
Yeah.
From the people who brought you movies you liked, here's another movie we hope you like. But the first real trailer was like, this is how this movie is going to work. And I thought it looked fantastic. It was funny. It was sweet. It was clever. The premise is that it takes place inside the mind of an 11-year-old girl who's just moved to a new city and a new school. And her emotions, which are represented by fear, disgust, anger, joy, and sadness, are sort of knocking around inside her mind, and I'm very excited for what Inside Out will do. So that's my most anticipated June, easily.
Definitely. Yeah, I'm really looking forward to Inside Out as well. Just because it's the first Pixar movie in a year. Over a year. 2 years.
That is true. That's true.
There was no Pixar movie in 2014.
There was not, and that cleared the way for the best animated film to be the Lego Movie. I know. Which do you like better? Do you like Lego Movie or How to Train Your Dragon 2 more?
I think Lego Movie. I think they're both incredible, though. I love them both. So.
Okay. Yeah. That's. I don't think you have to. I'm not going to hate you for which one you chose.
No. Right. And it honestly hasn't been a great year for animation. I really didn't like Big Hero 6. I thought Box Trolls I was a little disappointed by. I liked it, but I love Paranorman. I haven't seen Penguins. I really want to see Penguins. So Penguins I can't speak with Penguins. I haven't seen it yet. So.
Yeah, Penguins got buried. That made me sad because I think Penguins is really, really funny. Okay. June. I mean, Ted 2 could be good. Comedy sequels are tough. Entourage could be the most douchey movie ever made, so history.
It has its fans, and those fans will show up, and that will be that. Like, it's not going to be.
Show up wearing their trucker hats and Tom Hardy t-shirt and Ed Hardy t-shirts.
As someone who watched I've seen every single episode. It's a show that was only good for 3 seasons. Yeah, I mean, I'm a completionist.
How did you stick around? It's the same fucking cycle with
that
show.
It is the same cycle. I'm a completionist. I have to finish things. And once I knew it was ending, I was like, eh. But it was and I was hoping for it to be good again. Because it's genuinely good the first couple of seasons. Once they make it's over. It's like, what else do you, they were like, oh, clearly we don't have anything else. Because, his ambition for the whole first few seasons is he wants to make Medi. And then he makes it, and all right, what do we do now?
Here's the plot of every Entourage season. Vince is down, and he's trying to make a comeback, and everything looks like it's falling apart, but at the last minute, it all comes together. Yeah!
Vince is going to do the movie. Entourage.
He's going to do the movie. Mm. All right. July. Before we get into things we haven't seen, I will recommend The Look of Silence, which is a companion piece to The Act of Killing, which is my favorite film of 2013. The Look of Silence is a look at the Indonesian genocide from the perspective of the victims, as one of the brother of someone who was killed in the genocide, he goes and confronts the people responsible for it. And it's very powerful. It's very moving. It's more straightforward than The Act of Killing, but it's still excellent. So, Look of Silence, definitely check that one out. All right, let's move to the bigger movie.
That's a sobering piece of counter-programming to everything else that's in July. Just looking everything.
Indies.
Yeah, it's a really good movie, but just looking at it alongside Pixels and Ant-Man and Terminator and The Look of Silence. Genocide. But it is very good.
Silence.
I agree. If Soderbergh were directing...
Is there still a Point Break movie coming out in July?
Yeah.
That's still fucking happening?
Apparently.
Oh, fuck me.
If Soderbergh were directing, Magic Mike would be my most anticipated, because I love that first movie. I'm still looking forward to the second one, but I kind of get the feeling that they're going to make it more fun and more kind of commercial, which there's nothing wrong with that. It's going to be like a road movie, but I felt like the first one tapped into the American dream and was kind of sad in its own way, and I thought it was really good. So, but I think my most anticipated is Pan, because I love Joe Wright, and it looks fucking crazy. It looks insane.
Wow.
Yeah.
I mean, it looks crazy, but not in the good way.
It could be good.
It looks like... It could be good. It could be good. And I like Joe Wright, too, but I think Joe Wright has a tendency to get wound up in his concepts, and sometimes it works, and sometimes it doesn't. I mean, he adds a lot of personality to his films, and I think he gets caught up in it sometimes. I hate Atonement. I think Atonement's quite poor.
I like it.
And I think Anna Karenina is a very pretty movie, but I think it gets wrapped up in its visual and its style, and I think the story kind of takes a back seat.
I like all of those movies, so that's
but
why. I was disappointed by
Anna
Karenina.
Hannah's great. I think Hannah's great. Hannah was one of my favorite films that year. Pride and Prejudice is terrific. So... Is it Pride? No, it's Sense and Sensibility. My mistake.
Pride and Prejudice.
No, it's Pride and Prejudice. It is Pride and Prejudice. God damn it, Jane Austen. You and your stupid titles.
But Pan looks so much fun. I mean, you got Hugh Jackman is bald and has a crazy goatee, and you got Garrett Hedlund doing some weird accent, and it's like a coal miner.
I'm not on board
book.
With Garrett Hedlund.
Oh, I like Garrett Hedlund. I like him. I like
I'm
the
sorry.
guy.
I'm not sold on Garrett Hedlund.
I think he's good in Inside Llewyn Davis when he says two words. I think he's very.
I think he's good.
I like
your. Say... All right.
So yeah, I'm looking forward to Pan. I think it's going to be nuts, and I think it could be terrible. It could be a train wreck, but either way, I think it's going to be fun. So there you go, people.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to Pan more than anything else in July.
I mean, it's so weird. Ant-Man carries an air of tragedy about it.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, I have nothing against Peyton Reed. I have nothing against Adam McKay. It's just, it'll always have that around it. Like, there's no way around it.
Sure.
That being said, it makes it very interesting because it's still Edgar Wright's set pieces because the previs is locked in. There was nothing they could do. It was too late to change it. So yeah. It's still basically his action scene. So how does that fit with the rest? And an Edgar Wright set piece is so distinct. You can't really mistake it for someone else's. And I'm fascinated by what Ant-Man will be.
Yeah.
That is, I don't know if excited is the right word, but I'm fascinated. Trainwreck, I really like Amy Schumer, but it's Judd Apatow. Judd Apatow has gotten really indulgent over the years.
But he didn't write Trainwreck. I'm a little... So...
Yeah, but he didn't write it. But
that doesn't count.
Still, it's something.
It's Bill Hader in a starring role in a comedy, so that's exciting.
That is exciting. And again, Amy Schumer is very funny, so this could be a huge film for her if it's a success.
Yeah.
Basically launch her career.
For sure. A new level. And Tilda Swinton is in a Judd Apatow movie. I'm so excited for that. I want to see what she's doing, because I'm sure it's going to be crazy.
Tilda Swinton is such a fun actress. Like,
she is
no one,
the
like,
best.
She really is. I mean, to do, you know, Only Lovers Left Alive, like, that's one thing. And then she's, like, in Snowpiercer, like, being fucking weird. And then, I mean, I love her entire character in Burn After Reading is a lead up to a single joke. And the payoff is fantastic.
Grand Budapest, so great. I do want to back up to Ant-Man a second, though. Adam McKay did say that they added a big set piece to that movie. So I think that, like, some of the action may be rights, but I think that they were able, I think they retooled some of it. So I don't know. I'm curious to see Ant-Man as well. But I mean, as I've said before on this podcast, I've come around to the thinking that it was never going to happen. We were never going to see Edgar Wright's Ant-Man. Like, even if he directed it for Marvel, which he wouldn't have because he's Edgar Wright. Like, he's not someone that's going to say, like, all right, I'll make this movie. You know, these aren't all of my choices, but I'll.
Right, but we all liked the idea of it. That was the
idea.
Oh,
for sure.
We were excited
for
the idea.
Absolutely, yeah. I would love to see it, but it doesn't fit in the Marvel Universe. It was never going to happen, so it's super disheartening. God, I want to see Edgar Wright do a big studio movie again.
I do, too. But you have to let him do his thing, and we'll see how that all shakes. And here's the thing. I want to still see him do his own thing. I mean, when he was, like, mentioned for Star Trek 3, I'm like, this film is already, the series has taken off 2 times already. It just felt like I don't want to see him come into someone else's thing. I want to see him start something.
Yeah, and Joe Cornish was already kind of pushed out of that. So was he really gonna be like, oh, okay, I'll do it? So.
Oh yeah, let me do it. Yeah. All right, so yeah, July is something where we're feeling this. I could not care less about Terminator Genesis.
No. Minions.
And,
Minions like, might be fun. I like the Minions.
Minions might be fun. I like the Minions too.
Pixels Grimsby, could be fun.
You know, Pixels could be fun. Selfless has an interesting premise. That sort of thing. Once we reach July, it's sort of like,
I'm kind of tired. Yes. Then August.
Then August.
Yes. The Fantastic Four. It looks so great. Everything we've seen thus far looks so good.
Everything we have seen thus far from Fantastic Four is, I can't argue with it. I can't even put it into words what I think of the Fantastic Four so far.
We've seen nothing.
Is that? We've seen
literally,
nothing.
Literally
heard.
Nothing. Not even like
the
snapshot.
Only thing we've heard. Yeah, the only thing we've heard about, like, my name, my screen name is Doom.
Yeah,
Doctor Doom. His character name. I mean, what they're doing there, I just feel is gonna piss off everyone.
Yeah,
they're not gonna please anybody with that movie. I know that's taking a lot from a small snippet, but again, with what I've heard and from what we know, it just feels like something where we are going to do a complete 180 from the kind of Fantastic Four film you think you're going to get. that could be interesting, and I'm not saying I dislike that, but I think and especially the longer we wait to see something from the Fantastic Four, the more we brace ourselves for it.
Yeah, yeah, and
I think
it's not like
no way to acclimate.
Yeah, it's not like I'm down on it already. I'm very curious about it, but I think that it's very clear that Josh Trank's vision for this movie is I just think it's very clear that Josh Trank's vision for this movie is super different, and Fox is trying to figure out the best way to introduce it to audiences.
Yeah, I agree. We'll see. I mean, at least I don't know what to expect. So I would say I am interested about Man from U.N.C.L.E.
Yes.
I think that film has undergone some interesting changes. I want to see Henry Cavill, how he does outside the Superman suit in a real movie. Like, Immortals is Immortals. Let's be fair with that film. This is his first, you know, post-Superman role, and it's, you know, but it's still a summer movie. Let's see how that goes. Could be fun.
Yeah, not a giant Guy Ritchie fan, but I'm curious about that one. So,
yep, I'm on board with that.
Ricky and the Flash.
We're in August, folks. We're in August, folks. So I like Jonathan Demme. I mean, I'm not against that.
It's Meryl Streep playing
really
a rock star.
August. True. I just think we're in August, and things have gone incredibly lukewarm at best.
Yes.
So, ready to move on to September?
Let's do it.
Jane Got a Gun.
That movie's coming out, finally.
Maybe. Who knows? Could move again.
We'll
see. I'm most excited for Everest. I've never seen a Baltazar Kummerker film that has really blown me away, but when I was in high school, I read Into Thin Air, John Krakauer's Into Thin Air, and it was just like, this is the story of this tragedy that happens on Everest, and he was on the trip. He's not learning this secondhand. He was on this trip where people died, and it's just Everest. Why would anyone do that? It's just Everest is... The way he even talks about Everest is like, if you reach the summit, you will be too oxygen deprived to even appreciate it.
Yeah.
It's like you'll touch the top and then turn right back around. And it's like the accomplishment you cannot enjoy. But this is, you have an amazing cast for Everest. Oh my God. I mean, just Josh Brolin, Jason Clarke, Jake Gyllenhaal, John Hawks alone. That's exciting. So, interesting setting. I'm really excited for Everest.
I guess my most anticipated is the Whitey Bulger movie, which I wasn't extremely interested in, but then I saw the documentary Whitey and actually learned more about Whitey Bulger, and it's super fascinating. I like Scott Cooper. I didn't love Out of the Furnace, but I thought it was an admirable effort. I like his sensibility, and the cast for Whitey Bulger is great. And I'm most curious to see Johnny Depp do a dramatic, like a toned down drama, because like Scott Cooper doesn't seem like a guy who's going to suffer a broad performance or get something kooky.
Yeah, but how much sway does Scott Cooper really have?
Sure, but if he's the writer director, I just don't think that he's gonna deal with a performance like that.
He's gonna kick Johnny Depp off his movie.
No, not kick him off his movie, but I think they're gonna. I feel like they are going to come together to come up with a performance that's more in line with Donnie Brasco than something like Dark Shadows.
Or Public Enemies.
Or Public Enemies,
yeah. I'm worried about Public Enemies.
Well, you know, you got Cumberbatch, you got Dakota Johnson, Juno Temple, Joel Edgerton, Kevin Bacon.
Great. You got a great cast. You know what also had a great cast? Out of the Furnace.
That's true. I didn't hate Out of the Furnace. I just thought it was a weird movie.
I didn't hate it either, but it's disappointing.
It is disappointing.
And so, if this Whitey Bulger film is great, then, I mean, by all means, but I'm a bit hesitant.
Sure. I would say it's a tie between that and Triple Nine, which I think is, that also has a great cast, also has a director whose last film I didn't love, but who has shown promise.
See, I'm still waiting to, like, I'm with you on that. Like, John Hillcoat, I just feel like there's just, eventually we're going to reach that film. Like, it's, I feel like we're going to reach that film of his that I love.
Yeah.
We're almost there. We're almost there, but not quite. It's just, the road is just so bleak beyond reason, but it's really well made. And then Lawless is really interesting, but it's not quite what you would hope from, like, that kind of cast and that kind of era. Just these near misses. You know, they're not awful films, but you can see them coming so close to being great. I need to rewatch The Proposition.
Yeah.
But yeah, you know, 999 could be good. October, unless you have anything else in September, because October is where shit gets nuts.
Let's go to October. Well, I'm sure there will be stuff in September that's been like festival films and indie films, like we said before.
Oh, yeah.
But we don't know.
Exactly.
So.
Well, we don't know. October. I think we both know the film we're most excited for in October. You want to say it?
Crimson Peak.
Crimson Peak.
Yes.
So excited for Crimson Peak.
Yes. Especially as someone who... I don't love Guillermo del Toro's English language films. I enjoy them a lot. I really like Pacific Rim, but his Spanish language films, his adult dramas are fantastic. And so I'm really excited
to
see him do... an adult drama in English, which is what Crimson Peak is. And he's got a good cast, so.
Exactly. He's got a great cast. Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. And quite honestly, like, this is, I kind of wish, and I don't know if this will ever happen now, but I'd like to see Del Toro direct another Spanish film. I would like to see that. But if this is as close as we can get, I'm totally cool with it. A gothic horror romance story. That sounds unlike anything he's ever done before. So I'm on board. He's an amazing director, amazing cast. Crimson Peak, easily one of my most anticipated films of 2015.
For sure. And for me,
October,
a close second, I guess, would be Spielberg. The Spielberg. The Cold War spy thriller.
The Spielberg.
He's great. I mean, he's coming off Lincoln, which I think is... I think Lincoln is going to go down as I think it was underappreciated. I mean, I think people appreciated it, but I think Lincoln is a genuinely great film. And he's coming off of that, and
I really like Lincoln a lot.
Yeah, it's fantastic. And so, you know, he's back with Tom Hanks. We don't really know the tone of the Cold War spy thriller. We know that a script by the Coen brothers for a movie they didn't direct doesn't necessarily mean the movie will be good from Unbroken. But, yeah, I mean, it's Spielberg. He's one of the greatest directors that ever lived. So how can you not be excited?
Yep, that's his name. And the thing about Spielberg is I think he's also gotten very he's very patient.
Mm-hmm.
If he doesn't feel like the film is ready, he won't go forward with it. He's
yeah.
not. He's not a director who's working just to stay busy. Clint Eastwood. he's just, you know, he wants to make sure the projects are right. Ridley Scott. And so, I think that, you know, he was willing to table Robocalypse. He didn't stick with American Sniper. So if Spielberg thinks that this is a project that excites him enough to move forward, I'm excited.
Yep. Feel the same.
Yep. There are other films that, like, I mean, yeah, those are kind of the big ones of October. We'll see what awards films start popping up around then. Moving on to November, I'll say it right now. Again, one of my most anticipated films of the year, Spectre. Oh, and keep in mind, I'm not like a diehard James Bond fan, but I loved Skyfall. Skyfall is fantastic.
Oh yeah.
And to me, it's like this is our fresh start. This is our fresh start to the series, and even though we've had Daniel Craig for a few, this is really when it's gonna we're gonna, you know, Sam Mendes is back. I am worried about them bringing back Purvis and Wade. That, you know, they were the guys who were kind of writing garbage for a long time for like the Pierce Brosnan ones, like Die Another Day and The World Is Not Enough, and stuff that like is just filler Bond. But you still have John Logan involved, and I'm really excited for Spectre because, again, not only are we in this new era of Bond where it's like, okay, we're going to sort of repurpose old stuff and make it new again, but, you know, Christoph Waltz, Monica Bellucci, you know, the two big new additions to the cast, I think this could be a really, really... I mean, Skyfall is a tough act to follow, but if you're going to follow it with Spectre and probably Blofeld in some capacity. You're not going to do Spectre and just leave out Blofeld. I find that shocking if they did. So yeah, I'm super excited for Spectre.
Yeah, same here. Skyfall is one of my favorite movies of the year when it came out. Incredible. I really like Sam Mendes. So for me, it almost feels like it's tough for me to. I am excited about it, but I'm already bracing myself that it's not going to be as good as Skyfall. Because Skyfall was so good.
I think I can accept that. I can accept that if it's.
I can accept it. It's not going to be like... Skyfall. It doesn't need to be Skyfall, but you know, I'm curious to see where they go with the Blofeld stuff.
Right. I will also say this though: I've never seen, other than Out of the Connery Era, two great back-to-back Bond films.
Yeah.
Like, GoldenEye is great, it's followed by Tomorrow Never Dies. Casino Royale is great, it's followed by Quantum of Solace. I would like to see two back-to-back great Bond films.
Yeah, that'll be interesting. We shall see.
Okay. What else is in November?
Midnight Special.
There's Midnight Special.
Yeah. I loved Mud. And you got, I mean, it's an Adam Driver movie, so I'm there. My ticket's sold.
Exactly.
Michael Shannon is back with Jeff Nichols. It's like a sci-fi thriller.
Again.
It's gonna be fun. Apparently it's like an on the run movie in the vein of Starman. So I'm there. I'm down.
I'm hip. I'm with it.
Yeah,
I'm totally with Midnight Special. I mean, I think November's worst stuff. I think Peanuts could be. Looks cute. I really like the artistic style they've gone with it. I really like that. That's not the Smurfs or any garbage like that. It looks like, okay, it's updated, but not, it hasn't lost the style of the comics. Hunger Games, Mockingjay Part 2, let's finish this bad boy out and see how it goes. Good Dinosaur. Good Dinosaur. Oh, man. Have you ever dreaded a Pixar movie? I mean, Cars 2, yeah.
Yeah, Cars 2.
No, oh, gosh. But Cars 2, I dreaded because Cars 1 wasn't amazing.
Yeah.
I still think Cars 1 is fine. But Good Dinosaur, man. Oof.
It's just such a rocky road.
But yeah, I mean, the Rogan, Gordon Levitt, Xmas movie from Jonathan Levine, 50-50 is a good movie. I'm interested to see them all team up again. I know The Martian has an amazing cast, but Ridley Scott is, I'm no longer excited for Ridley. If Ridley Scott's name is attached, you got to sell me harder.
Yeah, I feel the same way too. And it also, I mean, it's got a script by Drew Goddard that's super promising. He was supposed to direct it, but then he moved to Sony to do the Spider-Man stuff, and clearly that didn't happen. But yeah, it also feels so similar to Gravity. How do you make it dissimilar? I guess the large cast helps with that. I love Matt Damon, but I feel the same way. I just feel burned by Ridley Scott now. It's tough to get excited about it. Yeah,
Counselor
yeah.
has a great cast. Counselor has a great cast. Exodus, great cast. Doesn't matter. I'm sure, although, you know what? I'm sure the director's cut will be great.
Yeah. I look forward to the director's cut of The Martian.
I look forward to it. Right.
Yes.
December.
Yes. Alvin and the Chipmunks, most anticipated of the year.
That is true. It's the fourth film. They've come a long way. You think they'd run out of stories about talking rodents, but you'd be wrong.
Oh, God. It's just funny that that movie is coming out. I forgot that series existed. But yeah, Star Wars. What are you feeling about Star Wars? You excited?
Mixed feel. Like, I'm a Star Wars fan. I can categorize myself as a Star Wars fan. I follow things about it. I have I like Star Wars. The thing I don't like is saturation. My feeling about Star Wars is that, and what I hope Episode 7 does, and what it doesn't look like it will do, I want Star Wars to be bigger than it is in a cinematic capacity. And what I mean by that is what grabs me about Star Wars is, like, the original trilogy is good. I mean, not good, it's great, especially Star Wars and Empire. I have mixed feelings about Return of the Jedi. Part of the problems with the prequels, and there are many, is that it makes the world feel small. It's like, by the way, Darth Vader built C-3PO. It's like, what? Why the fuck? why? You know, it's shit like that. Like, the world is very small. And when I found out that J.J. Abrams was like, we're going to bring back Luke, Han, and Leia for one last, you know, farewell. I'm like, they already had it. It was called Return of the Jedi. Show me new things. take me new places. One of my favorite Star Wars story is Star Wars Knights of the Old Republic, because that is a Star Wars world that is, I mean, not only is it a very well-made video game, but I get to go new places. I get to go to the underground of Coruscant. I get to go places I haven't seen before, and I don't want to keep going to places I've seen in Star Wars, because I know it's one of the things I think that makes Star Wars a lasting property is you want to keep peeking behind the corner. You want to see how this was and how this place operates and how these people work. That's what I want to see. And I feel if you just shove me back on the Millennium Falcon, yeah, I'll be nostalgic. But is nostalgia really what you want from a new Star Wars film? And that's my concern. And I did like that the first trailer was, these are new characters. I'm like, oh, that's cool. I want it to be good. I really do. But I got my reservations about it.
I am hopeful. I'm very hopeful. I like Star Wars. I was never a massive Star Wars fan. I enjoyed them. I watched them as a kid. I watched them over and over again as a kid. I was excited for the prequels. So I'm not like a massive Star Wars fan. I don't know a ton about, you know, extended universe and stuff like that. So when they announced new Star Wars, I was kind of like, all right. And then when they announced J.J. Abrams as director, I was kind of like, all right. But I find myself excited about this. I really liked that first trailer. It felt visceral and it felt new. It felt like a new era. And I get it. I'm definitely a bit wary about revisiting the old characters so heavily. But I don't know. I think that first trailer was indicative of a new era, a fresh era, and going new places. And I think that it's exciting to see J.J. Abrams directing a sequel or an entry in a franchise that he feels passionate about, unlike Star Trek, which he was very open about the fact that he was never a Star Trek fan. And
tried to turn Star Trek into Star Wars.
Yeah, that's the thing. He was like, well, I'm never going to make a Star Wars movie, but I'm making Star Trek. I can, you know, maybe kind of do some cool Star Wars stuff. So now it's like he has free reign to go crazy with Star Wars. I think Kathleen Kennedy is an excellent producer. I think the cast they put together for Force Awakens is incredible. I'm super hopeful. And they're going at this all the right ways. They're lining up the future movies. They're not, you know, let's set a release date for this one and then let's figure it out later. I think they set up their directors very quickly. They got Rian Johnson for 8, Josh Trank for the second standalone movie, and Gareth Edwards. I always mess those
Gareth
up.
Gareth Evans is the Raid.
Yes, Gareth Edwards for the first standalone/spinoff movie, which will come out in 2016. All those guys are set. They're working on their stuff. We're going to have a cohesive universe, is my hope, with Kathleen Kennedy as kind of the overlord, or the Kevin Feige, if you will. And that's exciting to me. And it's exciting that Abrams is an incredibly talented visual filmmaker. And I think his cinematographer, Dan Mindell, is talented as well. So I'm very excited to see visually what he's put together here. And I think that the cast is exciting. I'm very hopeful. And when this was first announced, I did not imagine myself being this excited or this hopeful about the movies, especially when Arndt was kicked off and they redid the screenplay. But here I am. I'm very excited.
I want to be more excited, and I hope I will be. Yes, J.J. Abrams, great visual storyteller, amazing cast. Kathleen Kennedy, great producer. J.J. Abrams is not a strong storyteller, and that is my concern. But we'll see. I think my expectation of Episode 7 as of today, Sunday, January 4th, 2015, my expectation is that J.J. Abrams' Star Wars The Force Awakens will be an adequate film and something where people are like, that's good. Now I'm excited for the future movies. They will like this one. It'll be enough to sort of set sail, but on its own merits, I think it will be good. I don't think it's going to be great, but we'll see. I'm hopeful. I want it to be good. I hope there are Jawas in it. I like Jawas. Filthy creatures. December also has... I'm really excited for Mission Impossible 5.
Oh, me too. So, I think Chris McQuarrie... God, I love Jack Reacher. I was not looking forward to Jack
Reacher.
Jack Reacher.
Good.
It's so good, and so I'm excited. I'm excited for him to do Mission Impossible 5. You know, because I think he's a talented director and also an incredibly talented writer. Got again a great ensemble. I think those movies are super fun. I love what Tom Cruise does with them, where he brings in a filmmaker and says, "What kind of movie do you want to make? What kind of spy movie do you want to make? Let's make that."
What movie do you want to make? And just my one request is if you can risk my life in the most insane way possible.
Yes.
That would be terrific.
That would be great. Yes.
Dangling off a fucking plane in this one.
God, he is our greatest.
Capacity, I don't know.
He is our great movie star. And I think people sometimes overlook that. I think he's great. So very much looking forward to Mission Impossible 5.
I feel if he ever leaves Scientology, that'll be a great conclusion. That'll completely change the way people look. It really is. That's the one hang-up people. People really have about Tom Cruise. If he wasn't that, people would just adore him night and day.
Yeah.
They would just. There's that one thing, because as an actor, based on the own merits of an actor, no one works harder.
No
one risks their life like Tom Cruise. You have to be kind of insane.
Yes,
to be Tom Cruise, do the things he does, and I admire that. I admire that. So yes, Mission Impossible 5. So yeah, there's good stuff.
Sisters,
I'm really looking forward to Sisters. Yeah, I'm looking forward to Sisters. I'm excited for it. I do. Baby Mama is a good movie, but I love them together so much, and I'm more than happy to see Sisters.
Yeah. Well, and they weren't crazy about Baby Mama either. I don't think, I mean, and that was in the early days of, not early days of SNL, but they didn't have the clout that they have now. And I think working with Jason Moore, who directed Pitch Perfect, they're surrounded by SNL alums. And most importantly, the movie was written by Paula Pell, who is fantastic. She was a longtime writer on SNL, writer on 30 Rock, sometimes actress on 30 Rock. So yeah, I'm. It really feels like 2015 is the year of the female-driven comedy, because you got Sisters, Trainwreck, Pitch Perfect 2, Spy. Like, there's all these really big movies led by females, which is exciting.
There are more female-led comedies than there are superhero movies.
There are.
Keep that in mind.
Not so in 2016 when we get six superhero.
Not so in 2016. Six superhero movies.
Joy, I can't say I'm excited for. I'm not crazy about this new
era. Not after American Hustle.
Yeah, this new era of David O. Russell. I think Silver Linings Playbook is fine. It's a romantic comedy. I want old David O. Russell back. So
yeah, that guy's never coming back.
Yeah, until he shows me that he's doing that and not chasing Oscars. You know, we'll see. The Revenant, I want to be excited for it, but I don't love Inarritu. I think the cast is great.
Yeah,
Leo DiCaprio grew a giant beard. So, we'll see.
Come for DiCaprio beard.
It's huge. His beard. Have you seen it? It's massive.
I have not seen it.
It's big.
Is it made of bees?
Yes. If anything else, we get another movie shot by Lubezki. So that's good.
True. And sometime this year, possibly, you can correct me. Are we getting Silence this year, or is that 2016?
If Scorsese starts shooting it, then yes. The original plan was to shoot this past summer, but then they didn't because Scorsese was busy with his HBO pilot. He was directing that, the rock and roll one. I know Andrew Garfield's been growing out his beard for it. They may have started shooting in late 2014. I know the plan was to release it in 2015. I know it is Scorsese's next movie.
Oh, shit. I forgot. Yeah, and I keep forgetting this movie's coming out, but I'm super excited for it. Hateful Eight.
Yes, because we don't have a specific release date yet. But yes,
we don't have a specific date for it.
That's the thing, is it's tough to enlist form, get together what's coming out in 2015 when movies don't have release dates. But yes, we get a new Quentin Tarantino movie in fall of 2015, and it's going to be glorious because he does not make bad movies.
He doesn't. He doesn't make them. At this point, you either love him or you hate him. Either you hate all of his movies or you like them all. There's very little in between there.
And Steve Jobs.
Yeah, that's 2015.
Steve Jobs in 2015. The long storied.
That I don't know. When that thing goes in front of cameras, then I'll believe in Steve.
No, it's doing it right now. They have to get it done before Fassbender goes.
They're filming right now.
No, they're filming in like 2 weeks, 3 weeks. They're setting up They're setting up in San Francisco right now. They got their locations. They're hiring extras. It's happening, but it's only three scenes, so they can shoot it in like a month.
That's true. Okay, yeah, I'm interested. If you want to talk about a specter hanging over something, there's Ant-Man and then there's Jobs.
Yes.
So, Steve Jobs movie. Because, yeah. Hey, I'm going to watch this thing, and it's like, I have nothing against Danny Boyle, but what if Fincher? What would Fincher do?
Oh, God, Fincher. So, want a new Fincher movie.
I know.
I want more.
Shit, I'm done with Gone Girl. All right. Okay, man. Well, that's it. Do you have anything else? Do you have anything? Are we done with 2015? This podcast is an hour and a half, so... I don't have any recommendations for you good people. I think this has all been about excitement and anticipation, and we'll see how it goes. Some of these films will pan out. Some won't. The only one that will pan out is Pan. Thank you very much, everyone.
Yes, it's going to be glorious. Best picture of the year, Pan. Calling it right now.
Pan. Calling it right now. Oscar beat is already ahead of you.
Oscar beat. Pan will win. Can't wait for Pan.
Oh, goodness.
Give me more of that right. Hugh Jackman as Blackbeard screaming into the sky. You can't deny that it's going to be so much fun.
You do realize that that's just... You do realize that what you just described is every X-Men and Wolverine movie.
I guess that's true. But this time...
Not with the Blackbeard bill, but screaming... He has a beard. Well, then.
Makes
okay.
Difference.
Well, thanks for listening, everyone. Hope you have a great 2015. We will be here with you in it. Bring any more episodes of The Collision. If you want to keep up with this podcast, you should follow us on Twitter. My Twitter handle is Matt Goldberg. Adam, where can we find you on Twitter?
At Adam Chitwood.
All right. Thanks for listening, everyone, and we'll be back with you next week.